206 years of this committee have never had staff ask questions in that type of hearing. The only time they've ever asked questions was in impeachment hearings. So you see what I'm trying to say here. They want it to look like impeachment hearings, but they're not willing to bring the impeachment. In fact, if he would bring the impeachment hearing, then he would have access to all kinds of documents, regardless of what the Attorney General's accommodations have already made for him.
Welcome to Radio Irregardless, your non-standard blend of irrespective and regardless. Now please welcome to the Internet Airwaves. Really? Internet Airwaves?
It's okay, you can just do it. Just say Internet Airwaves, it sounds really cool.
Sorry, I'm just not...
Internet Airwaves.
Okay then. Please welcome to the Internet Airwaves, Mark Scalia.
And welcome to Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. Just when I get the tech working, the tech stops working. And I don't know, we'll see what we can do. So hopefully you guys can hear me. I'm broadcasting live. Now, first of all, if you're listening to the sound of my voice, you're listening one of three ways. One, through my website, markscalia.com. I've actually got the link to broadcast live through Facebook. Check out more of my website. I'm actually updating my calendar. It's going to be pretty good. Things are pretty, it's going to be pretty good. Things are moving along. And the second way you can listen, we're broadcasting live through Facebook. At least I'm trying. I think that's what I'm doing. I got a bunch of listeners here. So hopefully everybody can hear me sound. Let's just hope that I can get my guests. And the third way you can listen, actually the most important way you can listen, is if you cannot listen live to the messed up broadcast, you can listen to the slightly edited for time podcast version of the show, available through Google Play and iHeartRadio. No, Google Play is actually going bye-bye. So it's iTunes, iHeartRadio, and wherever you get your podcasts. So as I always start the show the same way, I bring you up to speed with what's been going on with me in the Happening Now monologue.
Everything that happens now is happening now.
What happened to then?
That's the
when?
Just now. We're it now.
Go back to then.
When?
Now.
Now?
Now.
I can't.
Why?
We missed it.
When?
Just now.
When will then be now?
Soon.
And let's just start at the beginning, shall we? Now, last week's show was... I can't even begin to tell you. Last week's show was technically... What's the word? Nightmare. Nightmare. It started working off real good. I had the show going. I was using my iPad. Everything was working out. And then it went into this catastrophic black hole of tech, and it did not recover. And I could not do the rest of the broadcast live through Facebook because I had some feedback issues and everything else. And you would think it's simple. I'm dealing with two pieces of technology, my board, the mixer, and my computer. That's it. And at that time, I was using my iPad because I had it set up over here. And what happens is I broadcast live through the iPad, but I couldn't bring my guest on to do a simultaneous video cast. So I went, oh, okay. So I've got all these different options I can use. I got these cables and wires and all kinds of stuff. And just none of it. Not having any of it. But tonight, we'll see. And I've been testing all week. So hopefully it'll work out. But I don't, you know, whatever happens, we'll see what happens. I don't know. But I will talk about last Sunday's big game, because you can't say Super Bowl, because then the NFL comes after you. The big game, Tom Brady won number seventh ring with Tampa Bay. And it's the first time in Super Bowl history that a team that was in the Super Bowl was actually hosting the Super Bowl, which is actually kind of cool. And they ended up being the home team as well because of in the standings. But it wasn't a great game. I thought it was going to be tighter. I thought it was going to be a real tough game. And just Kansas City's whole offense just kind of collapsed. And then it was a rout. It was just brutal. you know, and Tom Brady, just doing his thing. So we got a little bit of bad news tonight. Larry Flint died. Yeah, Larry Flint. You know Larry Flint. He's like, I got all the girls from Hustler. Hustler was a magazine that had naked women in them. Now they call it the internet. It's much different. And Christopher Plummer died, which bothered a lot of people. And if you don't know who Christopher Plummer was, I try to hit every demographic. He was in The Sound of Music, and he was also in Star Trek movie. So that pretty much hits all the range right there. But he's got a huge, long career. Plus, he was in Somewhere in Time, which is one of my favorite movies, with Jane Seymour. Oh, Jane Seymour. Never mind. So things have been picking up at home. I've been doing a lot of home auditions. You might see this. I got my curtain. I got a backdrop. I got a whole set. And audio-wise, things are screwing up. But video-wise, things are pretty good. I got a lot of auditions coming up. I've been auditioning like a fiend for everything that they're shooting in Boston. Plus, I'm going to be doing some, I auditioned for some principal roles, which is actually, you know, pretty good. But I'm actually going to be doing some background work just to keep the checks coming. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, I'm going to tell you about this day in history.
Wait till I tell you what happened today.
Would you please explain some of what happened today to me, please? Will you?
And now, Radio Irregardlesses, this day in history.
Now, when I started doing this today, or tonight actually, I was like, it's not a great news day, to be honest with you. That's the truth. And nothing really happened on this day. And then things started getting good. At least I could find some humor in them. Like in 1535, on this day in 1535, 12 noon, Anabaptists rammed through Amsterdam streets. Now, I only bring that up because one, it actually happened. And two, did you see the streaker during the Super Bowl? Apparently somebody bet him, or he bet somebody that he wouldn't do it. And he made like $300,000 and he bailed himself out of jail. For like $500. That's a good return investment. On this day in 1863, the first U.S. fire extinguisher patent was granted. Again, a slow news day. 1897, the New York Times, which is a newspaper, boys and girls, began using its slogan, "All the news that's fit to print." And now the New York Times says, we'll just make it up and put it on paper. That's how they do it. 1906, Britain's first modern and largest battleship, the HMS Dreadnought, was launched. Again, very slow news day. 1933, the delivery of the first singing telegram was today. 1940, In the Mood by Glenn Miller. Believe it or not, this song has words. It's not just an instrumental. It's got words. Dun, 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 dun. I'm in the mood. Dun, dun, dun. I don't know the word. But it does have words. Now, that was in 1940, In the Mood by Glenn Miller, hit the number one. Also, just to put it in perspective, Hanna-Barbera's Tom and Jerry debuted on this day. 39 years later, this'll freak you out. 1940, In the Mood was the number one song. In 1979, 39 years later, this was the number one song. What? In 40 years, you went from In the Mood to Do You Think I'm Sexy? Wow. Talk about progressive shit. And that's all Facebook will let me play. It's like 10 seconds. Otherwise, I'm going to get sued. A big day today. 1996, the IBM Deep Blue. That was the computer program. It defeated the chess champ, Garry Kasparov. First time a computer beat a human. You know, now it's like, rah, rah, rah. Nobody cares because computers are way smarter than people now. That was in 1996. Now, this is 1998, okay? Less than 30 years ago. AOL raised its monthly flat rate internet access from $19.95 to $21.95. Now, that was in 1998. $20 a month which is pretty reasonable. But you got to understand, that was $20 for the baby internet. That's what we were paying for, the baby internet. There were chat rooms, and there was just AOL playing some games and some instant messenger chats. You were downloading pictures, and they usually started at the top, and you saw this, like, line matrix, and that's it.
You've got mail.
And here we go. This will freak you out. In 2014, for the first time in history, millionaires made up the majority of Congress. In 2012, the Center for Responsive Politics study reveals that of the 534 members, 268 had a net worth of $1 million or more. Yeah. You don't tell me that politics makes some fucking dough. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
So that's today in history. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to take our first break. And my guest tonight, absolutely amazing comedian. He was part of the Salem Comedy Spirits Festival. Barak Ziv will be joining me. Hopefully I can get all the tech working. We'll see what happens. I don't know. I hope so. We'll see how it goes. You're listening to Radio Irregardless. I'll be right back.
Job he's ever had has been a paper route. He runs to mommy and daddy every time he has a boo-boo. On dates, he has the woman cut up his vegetables. He once spent 18 hours in a basement playing World of Warcraft just to get the Scarab Lord achievement. He is the most immature man in the world. I don't often go to bed without supper, but when I do, it's because I've been bad. Stay thirsty, my friend.
And now, Radio Irregardless presents Barak Ziv.
I remember that time me and my parents had a sex talk. I had to teach them everything. I had to, how do you call it? Show them the ropes. The handcuffs, the lube. I realize it's too complicated, Barak, keep it simple. So I said, sex is just like riding a bike once you take the seat off. I'm glad some of you are laughing. Laughing really is the best medicine. When you have American health insurance. I was hitting on this girl the other day. She told me I'm not her type. I asked her, what's your type? She said, attractive. Me and my dog fostered a girlfriend. She was adopted by a better-looking guy. They say, dress for the job you want, not the job you have. So I came to work naked. Didn't last long, got fired. Not for that though. My boss caught me having sex at work with this woman. Not allowed to work at City Morgue anymore. Got fired from a lot of jobs. Got fired from the Missouri Board of Tourism. Just because they didn't like a slogan I suggested. Missouri loves company. A lot of Missouri fans here. I used to work in a lot of weird jobs. I used to be a porn actor. I would play the guy who kisses his wife goodbye. Then leave.
And you're back at Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia. And joining via Zoom on the Facebook Live is Barak Ziv, everyone. Oh, look at that. Did we do the right thing? We did. Can I hear you?
Yeah. I'm
oh, here. There he goes. I was like, did I fuck up the tech completely?
No, we're good.
So it's good to have you on. Let me just figure out the rest of this. So in the meantime, thank you for joining me. And you have been really busy. You were one of the comedians that performed at the Salem Comedy and Spirits Festival. And yep. It's great to have you here. So if you guys want to free stock Barak Ziv, find out more about him. It's very easy. You can free stock him through Instagram and Twitter. On Instagram, he's at Barak Ziv, B-A-R-A-K-Z-I-V comedy. And at Twitter, it's even easier. It's at Barak Ziv. And that's it. You can free stock him. And he's amazingly funny. We had him, I think you actually were on, you were sitting in on every single night, but you performed, was it the Thursday? Yeah, Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, first night and second night.
Friday, you brought out this, oh my God, I was laughing so hard. You had a triangle. You did a triangle, like a bit with a triangle. I couldn't stop laughing.
Can you hit the conservatorium, finally paid off.
So before I get into that, why don't you tell the lovely listeners, now they can get to see you now, which is a treat, but tell our lovely listeners more about yourself. Where are you based out of? How long you been doing it? Tell my people all about that.
I live in New York, in my apartment most of the time. I've been doing comedy for 4 years. And that's mostly it. A lot of heartaches. And occasional suicidal thoughts, but it's part of the fun.
And you're also a graphics designer. You did a really cool little graphic thing for the Salem Comedy and Spirits Festival.
That's been my bread and butter. And I've been doing graphics for many, many years now, like more than 15 years.
And where are you from originally? Because I know my guests are probably going, he doesn't sound like he's from New York.
Yeah, people can definitely tell I am a foreigner in this part. The thing I've noticed myself, I'm originally from Israel.
Israel. And how long you been in the United States then?
Way too long. ever since I moved here, which was 17 years ago.
So how long you been here? Too long. I've been here ever since I moved here. That's funny. That is funny. So what made you start wanting to do stand-up? I mean, if you've been here 17 years, you're a graphic designer, why get into stand-up?
That's like the origin story. Everybody got one. I was in a very tough place like 5 years ago. I went from really high to really low. Had a lot of physical problems and mental problems and financial, just a bunch of stuff. Mm. And I needed a break and didn't know what to do with myself. And I always loved comedy, always loved stand-up. And I figured I got to try that.
And you're really good at it, man. Your act is so goddamn funny. And your approach is, it's one of these things that your approach is like, I don't know it's coming. Your stuff is like this hard right turn and hard left turn stuff. And it's like,
that's like my driving.
And it's beautiful. It's so funny. And I was so happy to have you on. But you've been performing a lot. You're like the Zoom guy now doing all these shows, right?
I've been doing a couple. I don't know if I'm the guy. Maybe I'm the second guy. guys out there. I was going to say, by the way, if you love my triangle, you should really listen to my parallelogram.
You have a parallelogram, line. Yeah. Yeah.
Parallelogram. An excellent bet as well. I do Zoom stuff and I do some live stuff in New York City. That's still happening. Every place I get it. You know, I'm a nice guy. I don't abuse the show. I'm as nice and professional as they come. I think. I hope.
Where are you performing in New York? Because I thought the city was mostly just shut down.
It's mostly shut down, but they're still outdoor stuff or like outdoor booth. People do shows in outdoor booth, and okay. Just like any place that has like a somewhat of a warm heat, like a heating situation,
like a tent, like an outside tent,
Tent, outside booth, stuff like that. So. Good. Gas chamber, whatever. So I'll take a spot,
No, you won't. Don't do that.
No.
So 4 years. Now, have you just been out of New York or have you traveled a lot too?
I traveled. I lived in New York for all this time, except for a year that I lived in Thailand for work, like 10 years ago. Spent a year in Thailand,
Before you get into this, what's Thailand like?
Thailand is really cool. Great food, really friendly people. That was kind of weird because I was there during the time there was a lot of coup. coups, I guess, right? During a time of a coup,
takeover of the government, a coup.
Yeah, and me and other people who lived abroad, who came from abroad, because the company I worked for had a big Thai studio, and our office was like in the Times Square of Bangkok, and that was where all the coup was, all like the people storming, like not storming, like occupying an area, and we are still expected to go to work, or we had to clear some. That was a weird time, man. Weird time to be in the capital of Thailand. I mean, but an amazing country, amazing people.
That's funny.
Great food. Yeah.
Just grateful. Like revolution, and you're just going to work.
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's kind of like, you know, imagine if you go into the capital on January 6th.
Ah.
Yeah. I'm just here to work.
I know. I was just watching some of that. And I'm like, my God, they're showing footage and all this. I'm like, God, just, you know, it was a terrible thing. And
sad thing, but the memes were great.
The memes
are. A lot of jokes that came out of that.
Memes are terrible. The guy dressed like Braveheart just coming through.
Yeah. Oh. I thought I was going to resurrect some, I don't know, some old general or something.
Like I know. Here's the thing. If you're going to do something illegal, like that illegal, like federal style prison for the rest of your life kind of jail, don't post it on fucking Twitter, you morons.
Yeah, not recommended. No. Studies show that posting that on Twitter can lead to one's arrest.
Yeah, and another guy, they interviewed him. He was interviewed. He was like this, holding a piece of paper going, yeah, I went up to fucking Nancy Pelosi's office and I wrote her a note. I said, I'll be back, bitch. And I'm like, are you crazy?
I don't know. Yeah, that was scary stuff. I mean, I don't know. Sounds like Trump would have powdered him or something. Far from ideal.
So as far as the graphic stuff, I wanted to talk about, because I do the logos and I just do a little rinky dink through Photoshop. And what you did is you took it, and I don't know how you separated it out, but you made the witch on the broom, because that's the emblem of actually not a broom. She's on a microphone stand, and she flies into the frame, and then the graphics come up and from the bottom, then she flies out of frame. And I was like, that is just the coolest thing. And when I used it and integrated it into the Instagram little video and put you and your headshots and everybody's headshots there. And it was so much fun. It was just really good. So as far as the graphic thing, when you were in Thailand, how long, you said you were in Thailand for a year?
For 1 year. And that was like 10 years ago.
Oh.
That was in the middle of my 17 years in New York City.
Would you go back?
To travel if the opportunity comes, but I mean, there are other places I want to go to and, a lot of other places to see, so I'd rather just go to a new place. There's just too many. Sorry about that. Had a call.
Nice. It was just your headshot popped up.
I think it's the government coming to make sure that
you're on a list.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sir, here's what we'll do. I'll take my first break, actually my second break, and I want you to hang on through the break. And when we come back, I'm going to play a fun little game with Barack Ziff, and you'll be playing against my listeners. So you are listening to Radio Regardless, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to another installment of Radio Irregardless's History.
For all its popularity, history doesn't give us any guarantees as to the origins of Valentine's Day. But we do know it contains vestiges of the early Christian church and ancient Rome. The association between mid-February and romance goes back to a pagan festival known as Lupercalia.
Lupus, could you go somewhere else while I'm eating? You make me sick.
Likely honoring either Lupa, the she-wolf of Rome, who suckled Romulus and Remus.
Good morning, Miss Nelly.
Or Faunus, their god of fertility.
Could you ring Fawn Leibowitz for me?
Fawn Leibowitz?
The festivities began with an animal sacrifice. then the ritualistic slapping of young women with strips of the animal's skin and blood to bestow fertility for the coming year.
I don't need to be spanked. I'm a good girl.
I've been spanked. I'm not into it, but I asked for it at the time.
In the 5th century, perhaps in an effort to Christianize the pagan festival, Pope Gelasius declared February 14th as St. Valentine's Day. As for the real St. Valentine, there were reportedly several canonized by the church. Legend has it that one St. Valentine, a defiant Roman priest, lived during the 3rd century AD under Emperor Claudius II.
Make your mind up to it, Claudius. For good or ill, they've made you emperor. If you don't accept, you won't survive.
Father Valentine defied the emperor, continuing to marry young lovers in secret. The emperor eventually caught on to the priest's actions, arrested him, and sentenced him to death. The story continues that the condemned Father Valentine fell in love with his jailer's daughter. On February 14th, the day he was executed, it is said he passed the young girl a note. It was signed, "From Your Valentine."
This day is Valentine's Day.
This has been Radio Irregardless's History.
My name's Holly Johnston, and you're listening to Radio Irregardless. Bet you've never met a comedian with a startup podcast before.
And you're back at Radio Irregardless with me, your host. That was Holly Johnston. Holly was actually a guest on Radio Irregardless, as well as the Salem Comedy Spirits Festival. And she does not like the Zoom. She's cool with it. But it's really not the same, you know. And how do you find that as well? I mean, now that everything is video and it's not live audiences, but you're still doing some stuff. How do you feel, you know, about the difference being, you know, 4 years into it?
Definitely not as not the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good to have that, but not the same as being live. There's like a different energy in the air. And you can actually feel it because people are there. Here, it's like just me and the lamp, so not the same.
But. Yeah, I mean, even when we did the festival, which to me, I mean, I've done a bunch of Zoom things before, but it was the first time producing something. And, you know, we had a bunch of people, but then you see is little black squares, and then you hear laughter every once in a while. And it's so, for the people who are actually, again, it's one of these things you're like, is it working? And I do this, so I don't hear laughs at all, ever. So I'm used to no laughter. So this is right up my alley. But for the most part, like I miss, you know, and I haven't been on stage in probably 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. Actually, yeah, I did something in January, but I got a show this Saturday, and it's live. It's in New Hampshire, which is great because they treat it like the old West. They don't give a shit. just like, yeah, we got a bunch of people in a movie theater. Come on. And I'm actually doing it at the theater at the Strand in Dover, New Hampshire. And they're like, fucking, let's do it. That's cool. I've been tested like fucking 8 times for the Kofu or the whatever they're calling it now. You can't call it a Kung Flu because that's Trump. But I still think it's funny. So here's the thing. You have a very interesting name. Now, of course, it's Barack, and everybody knows that, you know, Barack Obama, but you may not know this. And I went over this a little bit with Meg last week, and I've done this a few times with my guests because I always think it's a really important thing to know what your name means. Like, my name is Scalia. It means the climber. It's Sicilian, and it means the climber. And my first name is Object of a Scam. So that's the way my name works out. But a lot of people don't know the origins of their name. Now, I will ask you this. Do you know the origins of your name?
Yeah.
See, I did not know this, so I did a little research. Now, I'm going to actually, the game we're going to play with you, I'll tell that in a minute. But this is Barak Ziv. Now, you guys may not know this. Barak was a ruler of ancient Israel. And Ziv, do you know what your last name means?
Yeah.
I did not know this. It means, it's a Hebrew word meaning light or glow. which is fucking cool. So you're a ruler who glows. That's like the kick-ass name.
Yeah, Barak also means lightning on its own. Like it's a modern, that's the modern word for lightning as well. So that's
You're like lightning, light, ruling light.
Glowing lightning. Sounds like a Native American chief or something.
So what I figured I would do is I was going to play a game with you called Royal. And we'll never be royal. So, because your first name is Barak, which is the ruler of ancient Israel, and of course, you know, light, lightning, all this stuff, I thought, let me test you, because sometimes, and I'll be honest with you, Barak, I'll be honest with you, a lot of the American comedians, and I say American comedians, like born here, raised here, like weirdos, not people from other countries, because I have Canadian friends, and people from other countries are usually a little bit more educated than us. I don't know if you've encountered that in all your time. I'm not saying Americans are stupid. I'm saying we're sheltered and we're closed in. So what I figured, I would play a quick game to see how much you know about ancient rulers, emperors, kings, things like that. So I'm going to make it super easy, and I'm going to make it super easy for the people listening. And we have a few listeners. So what they'll do is they'll pop on and you're playing against them. So now here it is. Now you and I are speaking almost instantaneous. So that's your advantage. But when it goes through Facebook, there's a slight delay. So what's going to happen is you will have a huge, probably anywhere between 3 to 5 seconds of lead time before they even hear the question. So that's your advantage. But your disadvantage is there's more of them than of you. So let's see what we can do. So this would
also be... I'm doing this on my phone, so I can't actually Google the answer.
Okay. But this is a test one, okay? I would say Genghis Khan, and you have to name the country or the empire that they rule.
Mongolia.
That's it. You got to correct. And because you got to correct, I'll give you this.
Your Majesty.
Your Majesty. So you get it right. So there you go. And if you get it wrong, I'll give you a really cool thing. And let's do speed round, see if they can catch up. So you got Genghis Khan. How about Alexander the Great?
Greek, I think, Rome, something like that.
I would have, well, which is it?
Greece.
Okay, I will accept Greece or Macedonia.
Macedonia, okay.
I would say, how about Augustus?
Greece, I think, or the Huns, I don't know. I don't know, I used to like those things. I should have known this one.
If I said Augustus Caesar.
Yeah, Rome.
That would be Rome, so you got that one?
Yeah. Your Majesty,
you got that right. If I said Napoleon Bonaparte?
Yeah, it's France.
Tutankhamun.
Egypt.
Vlad the Impaler.
Romania.
It's like, wow, I would accept Romania or Wallach, it's Wallachia.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah.
How about Xerxes the First?
That's Persia.
Persia. Look at that. It's like lightning round. If I said Emperor Hirohito.
That's Japan.
Ivan the Terrible.
That's Russia, I guess.
Russia, the first Russian czar. If I said Wilhelm the Second.
That's Germany. Prussia.
Emperor of Germany. And of course, the last one would be Robert the Bruce.
Robert the Bruce. That I don't know. Ireland or, I don't know, England, Holland, Dutchland.
No, there's only one more in Great Britain.
All right.
Wales,
Scotland.
Scotland. He was the king of Scotland. That's right. So you got, wow, you got them all right. But I was going to play you this if you got it wrong.
Open his head!
but you got them all right. It's like lightning round. You kicked ass. See, and if I said that to most Americans, they wouldn't know half of them. They really wouldn't. And it's kind of sad, actually.
Some of them are pretty. Yeah.
Well,
Alexander the Great, I should have known, because in Hebrew, you call him Alexander. Don't call him Alexander the Great. You call him Alexander of Macedonia. So of the Hebrew version of Macedonia, the Hebrew word.
So. You know, when I was doing research, there's so many kings. Of course, you say Edward, and everybody knows it's going to be Britain, you know, or England, it was a France. It was not Napoleon, but it was one of the kings, Louis. King Louis, and all this other stuff. And I'm like, you know, let me find some of the more obscure ones. you know. But yeah, Augustus just went by Augustus, and then Julius went by Julius Caesar, which is,
yeah,
that's fucked up.
Well, he was the one, the most famous one with the most followers, I guess.
Yeah, and then I would say, well, of course, then there's Caligula. I mean, there's Lena. Wow. It's 400 years. You can name a fucking half a dozen of these assholes.
Yeah, yeah.
I just want to be that. That's like a lightning round. That's the fastest anyone's ever done this. This is like great. So you know something? Because you got it, I'll just tabulate right now. What do I play?
I'll take more if you got more.
Oh, no. Believe me. It between the tech and me doing the research for the show, it's not fucking happening.
All good.
But I'll give you this. You got it.
I thought you were going to give me the finish him.
I just give you what?
You'll finish him? Or like
you win.
The brutality?
The brutality?
More combat?
Oh, actually, yeah. There was, wait a minute. Do I have that? Well, if you want, how about... I got a ton of these fucking stupid things.
Nice.
I have excellent, too. There's like a ton of excellence. So... let me do this. Let's take our third and final break. When we come back from this break, actually, we are going to talk to Barack. And Barack is going to tell us about his first time on stage, his best time on stage, and his worst time on stage. You are listening to Radio Irregardless, and I will be right back.
Love food and wine? Get to know Salem, Mass. In a fun and delicious way. Join me on a Salem food tour. Our 5-star rated walking tour gives guests the perfect opportunity to enjoy an afternoon with friends or coworkers. Great for locals and visitors, our tours book in advance and can be crafted for your special event. For more information on our tours and to make reservations, please visit us at salemfoodtours.com.
To leave a question or comment, call the Radio Irregardless hotline at 978-219-9294.
And you're back at Radio Irregardless with me, your host, Mark Scalia, and still on the Zoom line. And did we do a costume change? It's like, you know what it is? I'm watching me on Zoom, you and I on Zoom right now. And on the other monitor, I'm watching the playback just to make sure of the chat and all this other stuff. We went so fast, nobody was like, fuck it. They didn't even try to name an emperor or anything like that. But we still get Barack Ziv online. And again, if you want to free stalk him, please do, because he's really funny, very active on Instagram and Twitter. Again, Instagram is Barack Ziv, BarakZiv comedy. And Twitter is just Barack Ziv. And you can free stalk him, find out what he's got going on. Do you put your calendar on Instagram or Twitter? Is that how people find what you got going on?
I didn't know you can do that. So I learned something new.
Oh, yeah, what happens is a lot of times people put, like, they have a, it looks like a meme. They just put their dates and their, like, a headshot or something. Is that something? I wouldn't know. I don't do that.
But I know you can put a calendar in. Yeah, I'll do that.
No,
do you like a photo of a calendar or an actual, like, a link? Like a link?
No, they do like a photo of somebody, like they're on stage, and then next to them is a list of all the, you know, like this date.
Oh, yeah,
I'll be here. Yeah, I mean, you guys, I got to be honest, like this year when we did the festival, I was more into Instagram this year than ever before because obviously with all the technology changes so goddamn fast, I can't keep up. And there's too many things. I got Facebook, I got Twitter, I got Instagram, I got all this other stuff. I'm not on TikTok. Fuck the TikTok. I'm 52. I ain't TikToking shit. Unless somebody's going to pay me $1 million to be on TikTok, I ain't going to.
That's what I hear. That's where all the comics get a lot of their likes and recognition. TikTok is like the thing. So, I think it's the next thing.
I don't know. It's just, you know, everything's the next thing. God bless everybody. I don't have the tolerance. I can't do it. I can't do it. I've been at this for a long time. So speaking of a long time, let's talk about you. Let's go back to you. Now, you've been doing it 4 years. You've been in the United States for a while, originally from Israel, now living in New York City. Please, if you would, tell me and my lovely listeners about your first time on stage, your best time on stage, and of course, your worst time on stage, because do it in that order, because it's a much, it's really good to in that way, because we love the misery at the end.
Sure. Makes sense. Nice to start high and then go low. So the first time was in, I until recently lived in the Queens, and I call it the Queens to fight the Bronx. And there used to be a bar slash club called the Standing Room. It's part of the, it's like a related club to another big one, famous one in the city called the Stand. And the Standing Room had this open mic night called Comedy Lab every Tuesdays. And I lived by, I passed by it, and I was afraid for a while, though I wanted to do stand-up. And one day I said, I'm just going to come there and sit and watch. I'm not going to come up. I'm just going to sit and watch. But I had a bunch of notes, a bunch of jokes I wrote. And the host, very awesome guy, Eric Frost, really great, nice guy, nice comedian, encouraged me, no, come up. So I went up, really weird because the lights were blinding me. I couldn't see to my left or the right, and I was mumbling my notes. And it was a lot of all like weird, bad puns and one-liners and stuff like that. But it was, I did it and felt good. And once you do it, you kind of, you really want to do it again.
Yeah.
And it's funny that every time I see, I feel like I did really bad. But every time I see somebody who goes on the first time, they seem better than what I did. So I tell them, hey, you did really well for the first time. But when you do it the first time, you always feel like it's bad. And everybody else tells you you did better than you think.
Right.
Even though the first time is always like, it's a long distance from the first time to actually getting good.
Did you record your first time?
No, I wasn't even thinking about it. I wasn't planning it. But usually these days when I do a show or a mic, I record that shit so I can.
Yeah. Like everybody records everything now. I mean, you know, when I started, I mean, I did an audio recording because video cameras were were fucking gigantic, and they used VHS tapes. And so, but I was lucky I did an audio of it, but you know, and I've got very few video of me in my early, which is kind of good, I guess. So, but I'm sure it wasn't as bad as you thought it was, because it never is. You have a different perspective, but you did it and you continue to do it. Now you've only been doing it 4 years. It's a relatively short amount of time, but you must have some super highs in that 4 years.
Yeah, I had a couple. The best one was, in a barbershop in Queens, in the basement. That guy who brought me up, that was like 2.5 years in.
You did stand up in a barbershop?
In the basement of a barbershop. They have a basement. They have a place. That was weird, surreal, but really great.
Fuck.
Good comics, good crowd. And the producer was that guy who brought me up the first time.
Okay.
Open mic. That same guy. We were friends. Kept in touch. And I wasn't even supposed to go up. I just came to support, and he said, hey, you want to go up? I did. And it was good energy. I don't know if it was the low ceiling or the pipe in the middle of the room, or I don't know what it was, but not to toot my own fart, but one guy actually fell off the chair in one of my punchlines.
That's funny.
That was good. That was good.
Were there a lot of people in the basement of the barbershop?
It was about... Yeah, comedy takes you to weird places.
It does.
Yeah, I performed in a strip club a couple of months ago. And I don't even know the half of it. There are crazier stories from other comics, but there are about 20 people there. They're laughing, and my jokes worked. And
there you go.
For that.
Well, you know, when Jay Leno was in Boston, the theater district used to be the Combat Zone, and it was nothing but, you know, strip clubs and stuff like that. He was, and a lot of comics from that generation, actually probably about 10 years, 5 to 10 years before I started, they were performing in strip clubs all the time. And I'm like,
sure, sure.
I don't know how the fuck that could, what? Like, why would you don't want to, I mean, I've been to shows where people didn't want to hear jokes, but I didn't have to compete with boobs.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough.
Especially guys with like, give me a dollar. I'm like, hey, let me tell you a joke. Get the fuck away from me. So we get your first time on stage where you're a little, you know, you got that rush. You thought it didn't go well, but you kept at it. It's like this huge high. Best show so far, down in the basement when a guy fell off his chair. Sounds great. Now, and that's a weird story, but that's the best story. So tell us your worst set so far.
So I don't have to call the war said, but now that I'm thinking about it, I was going to tell a different story, but now I'm thinking about it. So there's this strip club, and it's not inside a strip club. It's on, like, they built, again, like a tent and outdoor stuff because of the whole pandemic thing. And I went to perform there a couple of months ago. And there was actually a nice crowd, but there was also a group of people who came for the strip club, and they had a reserved seats right near where we're actually performing. We're performing outside. And like two or three people before I started, those people came, they were partying, drinking, and the strippers started walking to them. So I'm talking, and in front of me, strippers come, cross my face to go to where those party guys are. And nobody listens to anything. You can't listen. A few people who came to watch the show couldn't listen. Those guys were partying and with the strippers. Nothing I say work. I just stand up, just like instead of doing material, I did like riffing. I did acknowledging the situation, acknowledging that the ladies are more interesting than me, and congratulate the man of the party. I was having a birthday, and the joke didn't work, but just kind of talking. We know nothing works.
So just to get through it. Oh my god!
Yeah, just to get through those like very long 5 minutes.
You know what's weird? It's people don't like. I've had this conversation multiple times, but it's such a weird thing where it's like a. Purple. Like, why would you do that? People are like, well, come, it's time. I'm doing time somewhere. But it's fucking horrible.
Jeez. Yeah. No, I'm I'm thankful to the guy, to the woman who booked me, to the guy who runs it. I'm just grateful for the stage time. The weird thing is that I have cousins that was in Jersey. I have cousins who live in Jersey, and they heard I'm coming, so they came to watch me for the first time. Never seen me in the car before. And the first time they saw me was in front of that mess. But yeah, it was good. Everybody was good. And I didn't get killed at the end. I'm just happy for that.
That is fucking horrible. You have friends from Jersey, and they come out with the first set they see.
Yeah.
So. Oh, that's funny. Oh, my God. That's funny. Oh, shit. So before we let you go, Barak, what do you got coming up? Any gigs you want to promote maybe this weekend, next weekend, over the next couple of weeks?
Sure. Yeah, I'm doing Saturday in New York City. It's an open booth called Joey Bats. And tomorrow in Leonora in Jersey, in Hackensack, New Jersey. And Sunday, it's on my social. And Sunday I'm doing a Valentine's Zoom show. We're gonna make jokes about relationships and other stuff like that. I don't think people want to celebrate Valentine's Day because either they've been with a significant other this whole pandemic and they don't want to celebrate seeing them.
I know.
One more day.
Let's celebrate a day together because we've only had 365 together.
Been almost a whole year of that here. Damn.
So Barak, thanks so much for being part of it. And again, you guys can free stalk him. He's on Twitter at Barak Ziv, BarakZiv. And at Instagram, it's Barak Ziv Comedy. Just put them both together. But Barak, it's been absolutely a pleasure having you on here tonight. I love working with you. I hope that we can do a show. I know that Luke Lindell is putting together a bunch of stuff, and hopefully we'll be on that show together. But thank you so much for being part of Radio Regardless tonight.
All right. Awesome, Mark. Thank you very much.
All right. Have a great night, my friend.
Thanks.
All right. Take care. That was Barak Ziv, everybody. So fucking doing shows at a fucking strip club. Oh, my God. I'll tell you, I've had some bad ones, but if somebody even proposed that to me, I'd be like, no, no, it's not going to happen. So, fuck, good for him for doing that. Jesus Christmas. And again, and I can't say this enough, follow the comics, especially now with everything going on with limited scene comics. Definitely follow them, because when all this is kind of settled and we start to go out to clubs, you're not just going to go out to random clubs. You want to be able to follow some people and follow them through Instagram, Twitter, Barak Ziv Comedy at Instagram at Barak Ziv on Twitter, and find out where he's going to be. Because when this all happens, when this all goes away, you want to be hanging out with these guys. So speaking of that, I'll tell you what I got going on this weekend. Tomorrow is Thursday. I'm not doing anything. Friday night, just kind of hanging. But Saturday night, I will be up in Dover, New Hampshire at the Strand Theater. It's going to be a fun show. I believe Steve Scarfo was on that show with me. But it's going to be so much fun. I'm looking forward to being back on stage, especially with some of the really, really funny people of Boston. I can't wait to get back on. So as always, guys, if you want to be part of the show, you can email radioirregardless@gmail.com. If you have a question or a comment or you want to be a guest, you can even call the hotline, 978-219-9294. And as always, we will be broadcasting live again February 28th, where my guest will be Joel Klein. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll see you.
This has been Radio Irregardless with Mark Scalia. Your non-standard blend of irrespective listening and regardless enjoying. Radio Irregardless was written, directed, and produced by Mark Scalia and broadcast and recorded live. We'd like to thank the on-air guest and all of our listeners. The Radio Irregardless theme, If Only I Had a Pen, was written and composed by Derek Dupuy. All music and audio clips used are property of their respective copyright owners. All material is the property of MS Enterprises and copyrighted 2021, all rights reserved. Listen to previous episodes of Radio Irregardless by downloading from iTunes, iHeartRadio, and wherever podcasts can be found. And thank you for listening.
Hello, hello. Testing 1, 2, 3.